Brother Dawson, for your song, and thank you, Sister Susan. We're so glad and thankful for the privilege of prayer, and we're taught to pray for one another. We don't all have the same needs, but we do have the same God, and He knows all about each one of us. And so we appreciate prayers that are set to music. We appreciate prayers that are prayed in secret. We appreciate prayers that are prayed audibly and in public, you know. And so we're just thankful to the Lord that we have access to His throne of grace. And we want to hold each other up during these times of trial. All right. I'd like to invite your attention to the 43rd division of the Psalms. It's a very short scripture, only five verses in this chapter, beginning at verse 1 in Psalms 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now that's my lesson for today. And as always, I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for today, discouragement. Discouragement. I took that verse of Scripture from I took that subject title from the last verse of Scripture that I read. And the psalmist was asking himself a question. And he said, and why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? So with that explanation for my subject, I'll try to begin. In chapter 42 and also in 43, the psalmist asked himself that same question three times. And I think that he was troubled and he was discouraged. In the first verse of the chapter, he said, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. I think that he was troubled about something that was going on in his nation, among other things. But he had lots of problems, and as we know, but the Lord was with him, and the Lord took care of him. And he asked this question, and why art thou cast down, O my soul? So it seems to me that David was discouraged. Despondent, and so he was talking with the Lord about his situation. And he asked the Lord to plead my cause, he said, against the ungodly nation. And I wanted to share with you some instances in the Scripture about men who were discouraged. We live in a nation, you know, where the sin is rampant, don't we? We get discouraged sometimes at the things that are going on. and we don't understand why, and perhaps we get really, you know, despondent, and we don't hardly know what to do about the situation. But it'd be a good thing for us to do like David, and to call upon the God and ask for His help. And not only to ask for His help, you know, but it'd be also good for us to ask our own selves, you know, why am I like this? Why am I discouraged? Why is my soul cast down, you know? Why am I not happy? Why am I not enjoying life? Why am I not enjoying the blessings of the Lord? So I want you to just listen with me for a few minutes. I'll try not to be too lengthy today, but I want you to think about these things. You know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 1, we can find the answer to a lot of these questions. You know, the Bible says, and Isaiah, and I may have to turn to it to get it started, but in Isaiah 59, it says this: "Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear." And He tells us then, your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. And I think that our country today is in the same situation that Israel was in back at that time. Their sins and their iniquities had separated them from God. You know, God has been good to America. And He's been good to America because America has been a good country. Our ways have changed. So we wonder why that everything's going on in the world and why it is that we pray and nothing seems to change. Well, perhaps the answer to that question is that our sins and our iniquities have come between us and God. We pray, Lord, bless us. And we want to be blessed, of course. But if we're not living in the will of God, and if we're not upholding His teachings, and we're not abiding by His rules and His laws, He is justified in withholding His blessings from us. Did you know it? He will not bless us in our sins, but He will forgive our sins, and He will heal our nation. Now, I know the Bible says, and I've quoted this before in the last few weeks, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." So He said, not only should we pray and ask God to forgive us, but He said we should also turn from our wicked ways. We can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect God to continue to bless us, you see. Our sins and our iniquities come between us and God. And God withholds His blessings sometimes. I wanted to share with you something else too. We read in the Bible about Elijah. Now Elijah was a great man. He was a great prophet of the Lord. Elijah, you know, he had seen the hand of God move. He had seen a nation that was given to idolatry. He had seen them turn from their sins and turn back to God. He had seen them, acknowledge when Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel. The people before the prayer, the people were halting between two opinions. And some people were saying this is the way we ought to go, and some are saying this is the way we ought to go. You know, they were halting between two opinions. And so Elijah proposed to them that the prophets of Baal offer a sacrifice, and that he also would offer a sacrifice. And the true and the living God, he said, whichever one's God answers their prayers, we'll know that he is the true and the living God. Now, I could take time to go over there and read all of that, but you're familiar with it. And if I can just remind you today. Now, Elijah, he told the prophets to go first, the prophets of Baal. They built their altar. They put their sacrifice on the altar. They prayed and they cried. They could not get an answer. The reason why? Because Baal was an idol god. Baal could not hear. Baal had no power. He could do absolutely nothing. Baal was a false god, and he could not hear, and he could not see, and he could not do anything in their behalf. When they got finished, Elijah rebuilt the altar. He put the stones in the place. He put the wood upon the stones. He put his sacrifice upon the wood. And he dug a trench around the altar. And he had them to pour 12 barrels of water over the top of the altar. And it ran down and it filled the trench. Elijah got on his knees before God. And he said, "Oh Lord, that these people may know that thou art God, and that I'm doing these things according to thy word." He said, "Hear from heaven." And you know what happened? God, the true and living God, he heard the prayer of his servant. And fire fell from heaven. And it consumed the offering. It consumed the wood. It consumed the stones. And it consumed the water. And you know, the people said, "The Lord, He is God." He saw that. That nation had gone through a terrible time. There had been a great drought in the land. And you know, people were suffering. And there were lots of problems. And the reason was that their sins had come between them and God. And they wasn't worshiping God. They were worshiping an idol. Something that had no meaning whatsoever. But God, he answered Elijah's prayer. And that nation turned back to God. And I'm telling you today that it's possible for a nation to wander away from God and get out of the will of God. But it is also possible for them to return to God. And that's what they did. And they said, "The Lord, He is God." He saw the nation turn around. I'm hoping and I'm praying that our nation will turn around. I'm hoping and I'm praying that we'll come back to God. That we'll come back to the principles of the Word of God. That we'll live by the Word of God. I'm saying that's our only hope, folks. That's our only hope. Our nation has been good. It's been good. It's been a good place to live. It's been a good place to raise your family. Good place to worship and serve God. It's been a good place for people to have churches, our churches. We have been able to worship according to the dictates of our own hearts and our own conscience. And we've been able to see people get saved by God's grace. And we've been able to send missionaries to other countries where they could hear the gospel and people could get saved. Now, Elijah, He had seen all this. And because of a threat, there was a wicked woman that made a threat against him. She said, before this time tomorrow, you're going to be just like them prophets of Baal. You're going to be dead on a doorknob. Now, that's not what she said, but that's what I said. You're going to be dead. She is planning on killing him. And in fear, he turned and he fled. And he began to run. And he ran and he ran. And he found himself exhausted. He found himself tired. And he found himself hungry. And he lay down under a juniper tree. And you know what his prayer was? Lord, just let me die. I just want to die. Now, that's what discouragement will do to a person. That's what fear will do to people. It will cause us to get to the place we'd rather die than to live. But I'm telling you that God wants us to be strong. And he wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We know what God can do. And so we need to pray. Now, as he lay there, he said, Lord, I'm no better than my fathers were. And that's the truth. He wasn't. He wasn't any better than they were. I don't know why he got to thinking maybe he was. You know, sometimes maybe we get to thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. That's what he was doing. And so he just got so discouraged and so depressed, he just wanted to die. But you know what the Lord did? While he lay there under that tree and slept, the Lord sent an angel. The Lord sent an angel to prepare a meal for him. And he woke up and he ate the meal and he laid down to sleep. And the Lord sent the angel back a second time and gave him another meal. And he said, you arise and eat. And he did. And the Bible said he went in the strength of that meat 40 days. I'm telling you that God can send help. God can send help. When we think that all is lost and we think that everything is going wrong, God can send help for us. And he sent help for Elijah. Well, he ate and it took him, I guess, 40 days to get down. To Mount Horeb. And he went in a cave there in Mount Horeb. And he's sitting in the cave. And God spoke to him and he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah began to tell him. He said, Lord, he said, I've been jealous for you. I've been working for you. I delivered that nation for you. And he said, I'm the only one left. And sometimes we get so discouraged and we look around and we say, well, there's not many of us, you know. There's not many of us. We're the only ones left. But I'm thankful to God today that we're not the only ones that's left serving God. God said to Elijah, I want you to know that I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. They haven't not one time bowed their knees and acknowledged Baal as being the Lord. We've got strong people. We've got strong brothers and sisters that are still holding up the bloodstained banner to a lost and dying world. And they haven't bowed. They like those three Hebrew children. The old king told them, he passed a decree, said you can't ask a petition of anybody but me. If you want anything, you have to ask me about it. And said, if you don't obey, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. Well, the Bible said they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. You know, they stood strong, and somebody went and told on them. You know, I've always been taught that you should not snitch on your neighbors. You know, your friends, if they're doing something, you know, we ought to pray for them. But anyway, they went and told the king. You know them three Hebrew boys? They're over there making a petition to their God. So he had them arrested and thrown in the furnace. They heated it up 7 times hotter than it ever been. And they threw them in. Folks, there's been a lot of Baptist people through the years that sacrificed their lives for what you and me believe. They have. They've lost their lives for what you and I try to stand for. And so those boys were going to stand for what they'd been taught, for what they believed in. And they was going to be strong. And they throwed them in. And the next day, the old king went to the furnace, and he looked in there, and he said, I thought we cast three in there. I see four. Who was that other one? That was the Lord Jesus. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ taking care of his people. And I'm going to say he will take care of us. There's an old song, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. I can't remember the rest of the words, but don't forget that phrase, God will take care of you. Elijah, in that cave, and God said, spoke to him in a still, small voice. You know, as he stood in the door of the cave, there was a great wind, and God wasn't in the wind. And there was a great earthquake, and the rocks rent, and God wasn't in that. And there was a great fire, and God wasn't in that. But then that still, small voice of God, he spoke to Elijah. Said, Elijah, your work's not finished. I've got something more for you to do. He said, I want you to go anoint Jehu. And I want you to anoint, their names escape me now, King of Israel, you know. And I want you to anoint Elisha, your successor, the one that's going to follow you. I want you to anoint him. So he had some more work for him to do. Now listen, I'm going to try to wind this up here in just a few minutes, if I can. But Elijah thought he was the only one left, but he wasn't. It was a dark and a gloomy time. It was. He was living under the threat of being killed for standing for the Jehovah God, under the threat of being killed. So, but God assured him he'd be with him. I want to give you one more little example. Elisha, the one that followed him. Now, the Assyrians, the Bible said, made war with Israel. And the Assyrians would plan. They'd work out their strategy, what they was going to do next. And when they'd get there, the Israelites was gone. And the king of Syria said, I want to know which one of you is on Israel's side. Which one's working for Israel? And they said, Lord, there's none of us working for Israel. He said, the prophet Elijah, he said, the Lord is telling him what you're thinking when you're laying in the bed. Now, you can read that in 2 Kings chapter 6. That's not word for word. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, when you're laying on your bed thinking about what you're going to do, God is letting Elisha know what you're going to do. So he got his army together, and he found out that Elisha was at Dothan. And so he got his armies together, and they surrounded Dothan. You know, thought they had him hemmed in. They're going to get him this time. Listen, they woke up the next morning, and Elisha's servant, he looked out and he saw all those soldiers. And he said to Elisha, my Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha, he said, Lord, he said, open this young man's eyes and let him see. Just open his eyes and let him see. And he opened his eyes, and he saw the hills all around that were full of chariots, angels, and chariots of fire. And this is what Elijah said. Said, the Lord said for me to tell you that there's more that are for us than they are against us. Amen. More on our side than they are on their side. And Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, he said, cause blindness to come upon them. And the Assyrian army, they were blind. And Elijah and the king of Israel, they led them right down to Samaria, the capital of Israel. Led them down there. And somebody said, let's kill them. Elijah said, no, let's don't kill them. Said, let's feed them. Let's feed them. You know, I may be off the subject, but listen. The Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And he fed them. Now, I want to say this, and then I'm going to close. Don't get discouraged. We're living in serious times, perilous times. You know, we don't like this situation here, being, you know, not being able to shake hands with one another and not being able to bow together in the altar to pray. You know, that's not our way of worshiping, you know. But we can't get discouraged and quit. We just have to keep on keeping on. We just have to hold up the brother's same banner. You know, we just have to do what we can. And God is able to bless. There's a song we sang, little is much if God is in it. Little is much if God is in it. And so we just keep on keeping on. You know, it's not good. And it's not wise for Christians to display discouragement. You know, we talk to one another sometimes, and we just talk about all the discouraging things, the things that are bad that's going on around us. But I tell you, we need to be talking about the Lord and the good things of the Lord. And we need to be a light for Jesus every day. Need to stand up for Jesus. That old song says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. We must hold that banner up. We must hold up Jesus. We must hold up the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We can't let it go down. We have to hold it up. And so we just have to try. You know, the devil, one of his biggest tools that he uses is discouragement. People get discouraged, you know. I ain't doing no good. I just don't feel right anymore. And I just don't feel right going to church anymore. There must be something wrong with my church, you know. That's just what that's the news the devil wants us to spread. There must be something wrong. There's nothing wrong with the church that Jesus established. I tell you, there's nothing wrong with it. It has spread the gospel all over the world. It's been in existence for over 2,000 years. And there have been billions of people that have been saved by the grace of God. And the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. We don't want to get discouraged because we know the power of the Lord and the power of the gospel. And we need to stand up and stand up for Jesus. Maybe we need to do like David said. Need to ask ourselves, Lord, why am I cast down? Why am I discouraged? And why art thou disquieted within me? You know, we need to keep on going and keep on praying and keep on asking ourselves, Lord, is the reason I'm in the shape I'm in, is it me or is it something else? And then we need to ask the Lord. You remember Sister Doss? She used to quote that verse of Scripture from the 139th division of the Psalms every once in a while. And search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Know my heart today, the Scripture says. And so, I hope I haven't discouraged you today. Preaching on discouragement. But I'm trying to encourage you. You know, this is a time when we ought to be doing everything we can to promote our church, promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's a time to work and to labor. I was trying to think of a song, and I can't think of the words of it, I don't think. But I think the name of it is, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Why should I be discouraged? You know, why? Well, we think about what God has done for other people, and then we think about what God's done for us. You know, God is good. He's so good. And He's good all the time. And He wants to bless us. And He will bless us. I want to say to you that are not saved yet. Maybe you've just become accountable. Maybe, you know, you've been accountable for some time. And you know that you're not right with God. You know, I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to keep on believing that Jesus saves. I want you to believe that Jesus will save you. I want you to believe that soon, and I believe very soon, there's going to be a move of God in our church. I've been looking for it. We'd planned a spring revival, and then this thing came along. And so we had to postpone it. But I tell you, I really felt that was the right thing to do. I mean, have a revival. I thought that the time was right. And then this came along. You know, the devil will fight us every step of the way if he can. And he'll discourage us. Now, our regular summer revival, you know, we felt it was the right thing to do to postpone it. I don't know. We're going to have it, the Lord willing. when the time's right, and God's going to let us know. God's going to let us know. We're going to have a revival. But I'm telling you, lost friend, you don't have to wait for a revival. Jesus is alive and well today. And He's able to save you today. And I don't want you to be discouraged and think, well, there's no use even trying. You need to try. You need to try to get saved. May God bless you. I don't know. Now the Lord's going to whip me over this sermon. I mean, the devil's going to whip me over it. I know he is. But I'm going to stand firm. I know God wanted me to preach this today. And I've done it to try to encourage us. I ain't pointing my finger at nobody. Listen, if I take care of Billy, you know, I've got a full-time job. I don't have to worry about you. The Lord will take care of you, you know, just like He takes care of me. And so I'm not pointing my fingers at nobody. I'm not saying you've done something or you haven't done something. You and the Lord know, you know. And I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying we can't let this time that we're going through at this time get us down. We have to keep praying, and we have to keep worshiping, and we have to keep singing, and we have to keep talking about Jesus and what Jesus can do for us. And that'll do more for us than anything else will. May God bless you. That's my sermon for today. Anybody have anything you want to say?